that things of satisfaction. To the point that we devote ourselves to those things. We are willing to sacrifice whatever it is that needs to be sacrificed for the sake of obtaining that feeling of satisfaction. Kind of like when you're eating and you want to, it's like you're going to get to that point where you're just laying on the couch, you unbuckle your belt and your pants, and you're like, I'm good. Like, life is good. And it's a very, like, silly way, but in a figurative way, like, that is how we live our life. We want to get to that point in our life where we just relax and we're glad and merry and happy because we have finally experienced what we were so desperately seeking. And so if we were to define, you know, this whole idea of fulfillment, just going by the general definition, the one that is given to us by the theologians at Oxford Dictionary, this is what they say. Fulfillment, satisfaction is the fulfillment of one's wishes, expectations, or needs, or the pleasure that derive from it. And by just looking at that statement, isn't that what we all want? Let's have a moment of transparency. Don't you and I want, if we were to be honest, isn't one of our biggest desires to have all of our wishes become true? Man, I want to marry the right person, I want to find that guy who's going to just, you know, lead me and love me and teach me God and walk me, and don't teach me God, but with, like, lead me to God and do all these different things, or this lady or woman that she will be of a blessing for me. I want to have the perfect career where I can make a significant amount of money. I want to finally drive an F-150. I want to do all these different things. I so desperately wish that things will go a particular way. Isn't that how we, like, wouldn't we agree that that's all of us to a level and extent that we want all of our wishes to come true? Our expectations, what you expect of other people, what you expect about your life in general, how it's going to go, the relationships that you are in right now, at work, at school, maybe your spouse, the needs, that all your needs are met. And the pleasure that comes from those moments where you get a little taste of satisfaction. You do something that you think will bring satisfaction. And here's the thing. There are things in this world that they do bring satisfaction. And the problem is, though, is that they're never eternal. They're very temporary. But in that moment when you're enjoying them, isn't that awesome? And so based on just that definition, we can see why all of us enjoy or go into this pursuit of finding fulfillment and to get into the point of satisfaction. And it's something that is even deeper than that. If you were to look at Ecclesiastes 3:11, he talks about how we all have, or our God has set eternity in our hearts. Meaning that from the moment of creation, God placed this desire, this longing for something more, which is why we all desire to look for things. And here is a very generic statement. Fulfillment can only be possible in the presence of emptiness. It's like one of, like, duh, like, of course. But think about it for a second. Fulfillment can only be possible in the presence of emptiness. If you have a jar that is completely full, you don't have to go out looking for more water. It's full. But if it's empty, you have to look for more. And it is that the very reason why we all go on this journey of seeking fulfillment. It's because it comes from a place of emptiness. And it not only does it come from a place of emptiness, it's that when we get to that point of feeling empty, we feel this pressure, this desire to find fulfillment. Have you realized that? Have you pondered on that for a second? Like, and we did one message one time here, if you remember, about the whole idea of emptiness and how it is good for us to get to a point of emptiness. That's not the emptiness we're talking about. The emptiness where you're saying, hey, God, take all of me and do with me whatever you want. That's the good emptiness. The emptiness that we're talking about is an emptiness that comes from a place of sin. where you are lacking something, that where we're all lacking something. And so we look into this world, which this is vertical or horizontal way, right? Horizontal, okay, just checking with the wife. Horizontal way of looking for things to find that fulfillment, which never happens, and yet we continue to look for it. And so because of this, because fulfillment comes from a place of emptiness and then produces in us this desire to find fulfillment, then it leads us to this locate, to this place where now we feel responsible for supplying everything that we so desperately desire. Because there is emptiness, because we feel the emptiness in our life, we also feel the pressure that it is up to you and me to find it. So we go out each day looking for things to find it. We feel the weight. And when something doesn't bring this fulfillment that we're looking, then we're mad. We're dealing with anxiety. We're dealing with depression. We're dealing with bitterness. We're dealing with loneliness. We're dealing with, you know, X and Y and Z. And we get to that place as a result of us trying to find things to fulfill us, when at the end, it never does. And this is a longer introduction for the passage that we're going to be in John 7. And here's what I want to say about this is, because if we were to categorize, if we were to divide the room into two groups, you'll have those that are not satisfied. They have no resemblance, or they're not even close on being satisfied. And then you have those over here that theoretically have been satisfied, that they are the ones that have been fully satisfied, and yet somehow along the ways, they forget about it. And the words that we're going to be finding here about from coming directly from Jesus is one that is both challenging and encouraging. It's one of those things that, like, you will see your aunt or your grandma posting on Facebook with, like, a weird graphic design that it will catch your eyes, but you will, like, okay, grandma, like, turn, like, delete your account type of thing. It's one of those verses that are, like, they sound good, they look good, you may have seen it, and yet we can easily dismiss what is stating. So my plea for all of us here tonight, and I'm teaching to myself too, let me be transparent. I'm teaching to myself tonight too, because this is something that I also struggle with. And so the reality, can we just let the word of God direct us as we expand on it? So again, John chapter 7, verse 37, this is what it says. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Just three verses. Very simple verses that we could easily just read, see it on a post, see it on a church wall, and yet completely miss what's going on. So a little bit of context for us to be able to better understand this. So this is happening during one of the three major holidays of the Jewish people. It's called the holiday of the Feast of the Booths, B-O-O-T-H, or the Feast of the Tabernacle. And in the Old Testament, God directed the nation of Israel to celebrate three major holidays, and this being the latest one. And this one was considered by many as the holiest, or the one of the most important ones, because this was one that not only served as a reminder of who God is, or who God was and what he has done, but also the fact that he was coming back, and that he was going to restore, and that he was going to bless everyone in the nation of Israel. So this was one that they looked forward for. And not only that, it was one that required a lot of different, like, rituals and dynamics. One of them, and you see the picture, is that they had to create or build a tent. This was to remind them of the tabernacle. And if you don't know what the tabernacle is, in the Old Testament, there was a period of time where the nation of Israel was wandering. And God instructed his people to create a temple, a movable temple, where his presence, his visible presence, was going to be among them. We know that God is everywhere, but in that moment, there was a visible presence of God among them, which it was special. And so during this time, they had to celebrate by living outside in one of those tents for 7 days. It started on their Sabbath, and it ended on the Sabbath. And this was a time where they would celebrate how God has blessed them through their crops, but also that they were pleading or praying to God that he will continue to bless them for the future. So here's what they would do. Each day will start with something like this, which, by the way, if you go on Amazon and you put a jar, a golden jar, this is not a golden jar, but I didn't know how big they were, so we'll go with this. But it's supposed to be a golden pitcher. It is golden, so I got that right. And they were to, the priests will come from the temple in a mountain, and they will walk down all the way to this pool that came, that was filled with waters that was coming from a spring, which meant that for them, this was considered a living water, water that is continuing moving. And also, and based on the Jewish law, this was something that was considered to be proper for rituals. So the priest will come down, come here, come to the water, pick up water, and then they had to walk all the way back to the altar and pour it on the altar as a demonstration of their pleading, but also remembrance of what God has done. And they will do this every single day of those 7 days of celebration. And it is on the last day, the very last day, that the priest will do this procession once again, where they would come here and grab the water and come up and pour it on the altar as a significance of, hey, God, we are thankful that you provided for us. We are thankful that you were there during the time of the tabernacle, during the time of Exodus, during the time that we were lacking. But hey, we're also thankful, or we're also pleading that you will continue to bless us. It was a what if. Like, they had the hope that God would actually do that, but they didn't have the certainty for sure that he would be able to continue to do that. And yet, that was the ritual that they will celebrate all the time. And so, in that context is when you see now Jesus stands up. The beginning, as most people presume, most theologians presume, is that in that moment where the priest is about to pour the water out, you see Jesus now standing up, which it was not normal of a rabbi, and he's saying to everyone in attendance, hey, if you are thirsty, come to me and I'll give you water to drink. Or to be more specific, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And I love this statement in light of what we share, because it's not just casual. It's not like coincidence. If you were to read early in chapter 7, you see that Jesus was navigating this holiday from secrecy. He didn't want it to go to this. He wasn't trying to make a big deal out of it. His brothers would approach him and say, hey, if you are who you say you are, because at that point they didn't believe in him being Jesus, the Son of God. If you are who you say you are, why don't you go to Jerusalem and proclaim to everyone what you have done? And Jesus will interact back and say, hey, my time is not yet. My time is not yet. So he's coming from a place of secrecy. And then out of nowhere, you see him standing up and proclaiming this massive truth in everyone in attendance. 7 days, 6 days of seeing the priest go through that whole journey of collecting water and pouring it out. And the next day, and the next day, and then on the very last day, the most important day, as it is even recalled here, the great day, Jesus stood up. He proclaims the statement that we have just read. And I love this because the people of Israel in that moment, they celebrated God's continual provision, whereas Jesus himself was saying, hey, I am the once and for all provision. That statement that, hey, if anyone is thirsty, come and drink. It was an invitation for everyone in attendance that we're seeking for the assurance of having both the provision, but the satisfaction that they so deeply desire. See, the people will come to the altar and pour the water. The priest will come to the altar and pour the water. And they wouldn't have the certainty whether or not the next year God will bless their crops. But right there in the mix of them, they had Jesus proclaiming, if you are thirsty, drink from me. But not only that, he proceeds and said, out of me, and I will, you come drink from me, and I will give you water, living water. And you think about the visual of what he's portraying here. Like, it's one of those things that, like, it's hard for us to put ourselves in the story, but let's try to put ourselves in the story. You started, let's say, on a Sunday, and you came to church, and Pastor Butch comes here, and he starts with this ritual where he's like, hey, guys, everybody here tonight, I'm going to tell you, we're gonna celebrate what God has done in your life and in my life up to this point, but we're going to plead to God that he will continue to bless us for the next few years. Pour the water. The next day. I mean, we're coming here. We're hoping and we're praying. Hey, God, do that. We know that he can. We don't necessarily have the assurance that he will, because it's up to him to be the one who does it or not. And then on the last day, as Pastor Butch is about to come here, Jesus stands among us and says, hey, you guys are looking for satisfaction, you're looking for water, your priest is going down, Butch is going, I'm making it very like casual, but don't miss it. Your priest is going all the way there, they're doing all this labor to get the water to pour into the altar, and I'm saying to you that if you're here today and you're lacking something and you want something, come to me and I will give you, and come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In other words, there will not be, it will not stop ceasing. There will be continual flow, more than you could ever imagine. And it is hard for me not to bring it up when the name of our ministry is called The Well, because in a very similar occasion, Jesus has a very similar conversation with a woman that was looking to find fulfillment. And Jesus is going to say to her, hey, if you are looking for satisfaction, whoever comes to me and drinks from me will not lack anything, but out of them will flow rivers of living water. Same invitation that you see here. And I love this because it's like Jesus is saying to everybody there, say, hey, in him, in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we have everything that we will ever need to be satisfied. It's one of those things that, like, if you have believed in the gospel, you know that. There was a time in your life where if you believe in the gospel, where you recognize that this world had nothing to offer to you. And that only Jesus had what you needed. So you believe and you pray and you say, God, I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus. I believe in his sacrifice on the cross. I believe that he rose from the dead and that he paid the penalty for my sin. And I believe that I have found forgiveness. And now you understand, or you know, that you're satisfied. But yet, in our day to day, how we live our life, do we actually live in that way? Do we actually feel and leave that's what took place? That if we're honest, why do we live like it is not enough? If we're honest, why do we live like what Jesus offered us is not enough? If God was to take your life and peel everything out of your life, your job, your possessions, the people that you love, every single thing, and all that was left was you and him, and what, or you and all that he has offered you, is that enough? Could we genuinely say, yes, it is? And could we back it up with our actions? But if we're honest, moment of honesty, like when we look at our life, like it's like a bottle again that has been completely filled. If you believe in Jesus, it has been completely filled. But we tell ourselves that no, it's not filled, it's empty. And because we're convinced that it's empty, we go out and we continue to look for more and more and more. And then we're surprised when the results is all the same. We still feel empty. It will still not bring the satisfaction that we're looking. And maybe you're here tonight and, you know, we're talking about this idea of satisfaction. And the reason why you feel this empty void in your life in a way that is, it may seem inexplainable, is because maybe at this point in your life, you have never believed in the gospel of Jesus. There is a void that is caused by sin, which sin is what separates us from God. It's the very thing that you and I do that opposes God, the thing that required a penalty to or a payment to be had. And that when you believe in Jesus, not only you are believing of his sacrifice on the cross, not only you're believing that he rose from the dead, but you also believe in that he has offered us forgiveness of sin. And in that forgiveness and restoration, and through the Holy Spirit, you find the fulfillment that we had in our life. A void that is caused by being separated from God, and with Jesus being brought back into community with God. And if you have not done that, that is why you are feeling the way that you're feeling. But for those of us, again, that have believed in Jesus, why do we feel like that is not enough? And it's a challenging question. It's one that is hard to answer. And I wish that I could come here and tell you, yes, I have done this. But it's not true. I remember, like today, that night, I was about 19 years old. It was December of 2012. I was in Florida. I came just from the DR for the holidays with my family. And we were in this place. I trusted in Jesus by the time I was 12 years old. At this time, I was 19 years old. And I'm there in this place, and I'm overwhelmed by the weight of the actions and the things that I have done, and the guilt and the shame and all the different things. But in reality, why I was overwhelmed was because I had been looking in a very horizontal way what only God could give me. And even though he had given it to me at the time that I was 12, I still ignored it and continued to go back there and looking for more. And then I wonder why it never brought any satisfaction to me. And it wasn't until that night that I realized that. In place of brokenness, in a room by myself. I don't even know where we were. I remember just the room. I pleaded with God, and I'm like, God, forgive me, because I have been looking for things where only you have what I need. And that happened 19 years ago. When I was 19, I'm 31 right now, and I don't know the gap difference. You do the math. But I wish that in that span, I could tell you today with honestly, and ever since then, I have never looked for things anymore. That's not true. My flesh and my foolishness, my weakness, my sin, I still find this urge, I find myself believing this lie that the cup that God filled me with his son Jesus is still empty, which is why I feel this urgency to go out and look for more. And I love, again, the picture of this priest going through this tedious journey, which is not a short walk, in the heat of the sun, carrying a jar of water, making sure that this water doesn't spill, because he needs to make it to the altar so that he can pour it out. And in doing so, plead with God as if with the hope that it would happen, but not 100% assurance that it would happen. And in that moment, Jesus stands up. And again, advise people, if you are thirsty, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And if you drink, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus and his offering of the Holy Spirit liberate us from having to find satisfaction on our own. And I love that. The pressure that you and I feel to find things in this world to fulfill us that will never do it, Jesus took care of that for us. The Holy Spirit took care of that. That at its core, what we really need is forgiveness of sin, restoration in our relationship with God, that we are empowered to do what we are called to do, which is to live in a way that honors God, that we are to love one another, that we are to love God and love people, and the empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit to be able to do that and do it well. The assurance that if you and I were to die today, we're not going to vanish and go to a place of mystery, but that we're going to go to a place where God himself resides, where we're going to be in eternity with a Savior that made himself available for us. that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of hardships, that you're never alone, that you have within you, God himself that lives within you as your comforter, that when everything else is lacking, he's there with you, who takes you through those storms of life, through the you know, the moving waters, and he's there, and he empowers you and counsel you, that you're never alone. Why do we feel that what Jesus offers is not enough? And I'm not coming down on you. I'm telling this to myself. Because I need to be reminded of the fact that when Jesus said, Jesus essentially could have said to the priest, be done with this ritual. You don't need to be doing this no more. Because in me, as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world, you have the assurance that you need that God has blessed you. Not only with my presence as the Son of God, but by the deliverance of your sin and the forgiveness of your sin and the restoration of a relationship with him for eternity. And in those two things, you have everything that you truly need. That if your life was picked apart, if you lost your family, your friends, your career, everything, could you say today still, God, you are good because you have given me your Son, which I didn't deserve. That you offer your Son, who I put him there by my sin. That my sin caused him to pay the penalty. That I didn't bring anything. That it didn't cost me anything to put him on the cross. But it cost him all to be able for me to have a relationship with God. That what we did was the opposite. That what we do is just bring more things. That what we do is just added more things to the bill, if we were to use it in that lingo, to the bill of the cross. That's all that we had to offer. And yet Jesus paid it all. And in him, you have this invitation that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of water. And I love this again because I don't know where you're at. I know where I am and I know what I need to be challenged with. But I don't know about you. I don't know if you're here tonight and you will say, in a general sense, you do feel that heavy weight of emptiness where you have not come to a point where you have belief in Jesus. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to even tonight come to the realization that it doesn't matter what you do. What you get, what you achieve, what you desire, it will never give you what you so desperately need. That void in your life will still remain void after everything else that you endeavor in this life. You still will go to bed alone and you still will be left to your thoughts when you're realizing it was all for nothing. But if you have also believed in Jesus, don't be like the dog that goes back to his vomit, and do not fall into the lie of believing that this world has to offer the things that we need to be satisfied. That no kid, no man, no woman, no career, no finances, no whatever, you fill in the blank, will not bring the satisfaction that you and I so desperately desire. But in fact, you and I have already been fully satisfied. That if you believe in Jesus, you have been satisfied. You don't need anything else as far as what God intended for you to have. That everything else that comes to you comes at a place of blessing. That when we look at our life and what we have versus what we don't have, that we're not comparing the goodness of God based on whether we have this or don't have this, but that we realize that anything else that comes in life is just by the blessing of God. Because what we truly needed was fulfillment. A fulfillment that we also didn't deserve. And yet Jesus completely offered and says to everybody in attendance, just like he's telling us tonight, if anybody thirsts, come to me and drink. And that Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, will flow living water. So I don't know where you're at tonight. As the band is going to come up and get ready for one last song. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know if you feel the weight of the lacking. I don't know if you feel the weight of emptiness, this emptiness that you have tried so hard to fill and it hasn't been filled. And if that's you, my plea is again that you will realize that it can only be filled with a relationship with Jesus. But at the same time, for those of us that have believed that, let us not forget that that can only, that once we believe, it's been done. We've been fulfilled. We don't need anything else. Everything else is by addition. That at its core, we were given more than we deserve. And it is so easy for us to question God and his goodness and what he has for us based on what we have and what we don't have. And when we go out looking into the world and it does not bring what we're so desperately desire, we forget that we have been filled. So may that not be the case for us tonight. That we will recognize that we have been filled. That it is enough. That what Jesus did for us, it's enough. So let us pray. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for the encouragement that you offer way more than we deserve. And that in your goodness, Lord, you provided a way through your son Jesus to fill that empty void in our life. And Father, I pray that if we have belief in your son Jesus, that we will not fall into the lies that it is not enough. You have given us more than enough. And may we never forget that. Father, I also pray if there's anybody here that does not know you, that tonight that they can know that tonight they can find the fulfillment that they so desperately desire. Father, I pray that you will move them to talk to somebody, whether it's me, any of the worship team, and maybe the person that invited them. Thank you so much for who you are, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.